WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Prelude to a Kiss was a hit on and off Broadway a couple of years ago, but many people didn't get to see its star, Alec Baldwin. He only stuck around for the first 6 weeks of its run. Now he's back in the movie version, with Meg Ryan playing the role created by Mary Louise Parker. The movie was written by Craig Lucas and directed by Norman Renee, the same team that wrote and directed the play. They also collaborated on the film Longtime Companion. Film critic Stephen Schiff has this review of Prelude to a Kiss.
The premise of Prelude to a Kiss is a terrific contraption, designed to let us all explore the meaning of life and love together and have fun along the way. Here's how it works. You start with a fabulous young couple. They meet at a party. They dance. They see that they're both smart and sexy, and both half-formed, both brimming on the edge of a wonderful life. Rita, played by cutesy Meg Ryan, is a bartender. Peter, played by hunky Alec Baldwin, works in scientific publishing. When he can't get her out of his mind, he shows up at the bar where she works and begins to tell her the story of his life.
Okay, this is the story, and I'm not making it up.
Okay.
And it's not as sad as it sounds.
Shoot.
My parents separated when I was 4. I went to live with my grandparents, who are unfortunately deceased now. I'm going to make this as brief as possible.
Take your time.
And?
We can go up to my place when you're done.
And everything worked out great for everybody. It was amazing.
It's all like that, the conversation in this movie, snappy and quippy and surfacey and banal. Nevertheless, these two wacky, wonderful kids are nuts for each other, and they decide to get married. But at the wedding, a strange thing happens. A distracted-looking old man named Julius, played by the stage actor Sidney Walker, wanders into the reception and asks to kiss the bride. When he does, the sun dims, the camera tilts, and before we know it, the spirit of old Julius has entered young Rita's body, while the inner Rita now resides within the outer Julius. So, will Peter realize that sexy little Rita is no longer Rita? And if he does, can he really be in love with a crusty old man, since the girl he adores now inhabits that crust? Those are fascinating questions, but once they're posed, the movie doesn't know what to do with them. And in the end, we don't either. For instance, we're told about Rita's insomnia and her fear of life. When Peter's new wife loses these traits, he knows Rita is no longer Rita. Unfortunately, though, those traits never made any sense in the first place. The Rita Meg Ryan plays is so spunky and adventurous and comfortable that her very screen presence makes us doubt everything we're being told about her. Meanwhile, Sidney Walker, the strangely hypnotic actor who plays Julius, takes everything too slowly. And that makes Lucas's messagey dialogue sound even more tedious than it needed to. Besides which, it's almost impossible to detect lively Rita inside this sluggish old plotter. And there's one more thing. Storytelling is always a kind of shorthand. It's a shorthand for life. The chaos of things that happen to us every day are distilled into incidents. And the complex, that is, every human being, is distilled into character traits. The problem with Prelude to a Kiss is that writer Craig Lucas has made the kind of mistake only a storyteller would make. He's mistaken a theatrical device, character traits, for character itself, the thing they represent. And since we all know, however unconsciously, that people are far more complex and changeable and unpredictable than any series of character traits, we may, without quite knowing why, find that nothing in Prelude to a Kiss convinces us. We all know, for instance, insomniacs who learn to sleep, or sleepers who become insomniacs. The trait is not the person. Maybe Craig Lucas and the director Norman Renee should get out more, away from the life of the theater. The questions they're asking here are the real thing, but the answers are, well, play things.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for Vanity Fair.